Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Mystic Crystal Revelation.
It's a big tent, a new age. Does it have a common denominator? You have things like astrology, yoga, Buddhism, the God within you, just kind of a general sense of everyone's divinity, or maybe it comes in the form of Oprah Winfrey's The Secret, where you can learn a law of attraction and make your life whatever you want it to be by just thinking it into existence. It's all new age, but where did it all come from? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about New Age teachings and practices, Dr. Adam Francisco. He's Assistant Provost for Mission and Identity at Concordia University Chicago and author of a column for the Lutheran Witness titled Spiritual Without the Spirit. Dr. Francisco, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Where did this concept that just seems to have been around for some of us forever of the New Age actually come from?
Well, the 1960s and the 1970s, there were, especially in the hippie movement, there was all this talk about this new era that we were on the verge of entering. And a lot of folks tied it to astrological writings where it was, and please understand the New Age movement is very diverse and there's no set central doctrine or anything, but a lot of folks talked about how every 2,150 years, the sun would kind of reposition itself in the middle of March in front of a new constellation. And so the 1960s, 70s, they were anticipating that it would move past Pisces to a different constellation. That would be the dawning of the age of Aquarius. And hence the phrase or the term New Age. All the magazines and other outlets that observed this new religious movement just simply started referring to it as the New Age. But the interesting thing is nobody really attempted to define it as a distinct movement. Basically, anything that was different than the materialism of modernism or the traditions of Christianity or historic religions that were already in America, anything that was different than that, that looked more Eastern, that maybe borrowed terminology from the Hindu or the Buddhist traditions or Native American religious traditions, was labeled as New Age.
So it's kind of at first this sense that man was entering a spiritual enlightenment that would move him past all the things of the past.
It's very almost progressivist, not in the political sense, though there certainly probably there's a lot of that too, and used a lot of evolutionary language. Hillary Clinton had an advisor, a spiritual counselor, I guess, named Jean Houston, who in fact talked about how in the 1990s we were moving to a, as she put it, a type one higher civilization. So there's a real discrete notion that we're evolving to, usually the phrase that's used is a higher consciousness towards, we'll talk about God consciousness, as if we're all, every human being, perhaps all living creatures share in a sort of divinity. And so, even to this very day, you'll see, at least where I came from in Southern California, it was not uncommon to see the bumper sticker that said Namaste, which if any of your listeners have ever been to a yoga studio or known people who have practiced yoga, oftentimes it's become just sort of common practice to greet everyone with a Namaste or perhaps put your hands together in a kind of prayer type gesture and bow and say Namaste, which in the Indian language, you translate that into English, means something like I revere or I acknowledge the deity within you. And that basic assumption that we are all connected, that we all, while we might think we're individuals, and in fact are individuals, we also are part of something much bigger, part of this divine collective consciousness, whatever that might mean.
So like a form of monism that still ironically would allow for individuality.
Sure. So there's a number of texts on this. James Sire, who is now dead, but he wrote a book called The Universe Next Door, I think going back to the early 1980s, maybe the late 1970s. It's been through five or six editions.
It's a great book.
Oh, outstanding. And he covers New Age as a distinct chapter right after he covers what he calls Eastern pantheistic monism, which is Hinduism and some of the classical forms of Buddhism, and makes the point that the New Age, it's not the same as Eastern pantheistic monism, but it certainly uses a lot of the same language and in many ways is underpinned by some of the same assumptions of Hinduism, for example. One of those being this monistic view of reality, that everything is shares in this sort of mysterious divine unity.
So how do you account for both the popularity and the staying power of New Age spirituality? It's still as strong as it ever was in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of ways. If, you know, a sociologist probably would have a whole bunch of categories for describing it, but I think you can boil it down to a theological point that that's a biblical theme. St. Augustine expressed it very well in his autobiography, where he says that our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee, O Lord, suggesting that every human being is by nature religious in a way. St. Paul expressed this, for example, at Mars Hill. And the issue is, if you fill that void with all sorts of false ideas about God, you're going to be led astray. Well, in the 1960s in America, 1970s, or maybe in the larger Anglosphere, as people are looking to move past traditional norms, religious and otherwise, in the Western world, they start looking to the East. They, in fact, I don't know if you could call it a mass movement, but there was quite a bit of Western, if we can call them hippie tourists, that went to places like India and, you know, to find themselves and to learn from gurus. And then when many of them came back, but not all of them, when they came back, they brought these Eastern and Hindu ideas with them.
Now, talk about how the New Age ideas became popular through various kinds of media, books, TV, film.
Well, you couldn't probably do it now with COVID restrictions and so on, but Barnes & Noble, if you go into a Barnes & Noble and go to that magazine rack, I guess it would be in the maybe contemporary events, or if there is a religion section, you'd be kind of struck by the fact that most of those journals there, in fact, not all, but pretty close to all those journals, are New Age type journals. So going back to the 1970s, New Age journals began to be published at, you know, there are a dime a dozen, and many of them are still around. Lots of books. If you go to, again, Barnes & Noble, and to the metaphysics section, in a larger Barnes & Noble, they'll typically have that. What that is not a reference to old, like, medieval scholastic metaphysics within the Christian tradition, thinking about what's beyond the physical world. In a philosophical way, it's now metaphysics is pretty much synonymous with New Age spirituality. So you get it there in print media. In the movies, you know, in that article in the Lutheran Witness, I talk about a bit, just very briefly, about Star Wars. Yoda, of course, would be like sort of the consummate New Age guru who sees past and helps other people see past the normal sort of things in front of our face to that force that lies behind everything. And in fact, the sort of a yin and yang of a force. There are other movies. I probably, in my experience, I think the movie Contact with Matthew McConaughey and Jodie Foster, this is probably going back to the late 80s, maybe early 90s, had a lot to do with human efforts to reach or connect with some extraterrestrial intelligence. There was a lot of, you know, that whole assumption that there's more than meets the eye, that there's a whole lot of mysteries, which I think we would acknowledge that we don't know everything about the universe, and there's a lot of stuff that is mysterious or paradoxical in nature. But when a New Age person thinks about that, they're talking about divine mysteries, as if there are sort of quasi-divine beings that inhabit the universe. Aliens or extraterrestrials would be an example of such. So in the movie Contact, Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey is another example. Probably the most influential propagator, or at least facilitator, of the proliferation of New Age ideas was Oprah Winfrey. And even still to this day, though she's doing more, I don't know what you want to call it, popular political, critical theory, social justice stuff. In the past, for, 20, 30 years, when the Oprah Winfrey Show ran and had a huge and far-reaching audience, she routinely hosted or brought on guests like Shirley MacLaine or Jonathan Edwards or Deepak Chopra, who are, though they may not have used words like New Age, very clearly were part of this broader New Age spirituality, where I believe it was on Oprah Winfrey's show where Shirley MacLaine was being interviewed about her book entitled It's All About Playing, where she reiterated what she said in the book, that she's basically I am who am, associating herself with God. Jonathan Edwards was famous for his alleged ability of contacting recently deceased relatives. He was a medium who could contact the dead, and he would bring words from the dead to grieving parents and other family members. Deepak Chopra, whose influence is, cannot be overestimated, not only has he written lots of books, but now he's frequently invited to present seminars and talks, motivational self-help type of talks at large businesses in the Silicon Valley and elsewhere. He's very similar in outlook to, you know, Shirley MacLaine, you know, sort of a broad spirituality that assumes that every human being in some way has a God consciousness that they need to discover. They might in fact be God themselves, as everybody else is in their assumption. But Chopra will oftentimes confuse things and bring in Jesus. But the way Chopra treats Jesus is Jesus is just one among a whole host of gurus, people who have laid out a spiritual path that one might walk upon. But there are other options out there as well. Chopra will even borrow from, he'll quote the canonical scriptures and certainly will quote the non-canonical gospels like the Gnostic texts. And I mean, this is going a little bit beyond your question, but it's interesting how popular some of these New Age authors who bring up Jesus are among Christians. You know, I wouldn't name names, but it's very common in my world, at least, to hear about friends and perhaps sometimes family members who are reading a book like The Secret, which was popular a couple years back, and it's considered to be a Christian text when, in fact, you look at it, you don't even have to look at it all that closely. It's pretty clear just by reading the back cover that it's New Age spirituality masquerading as sort of a more popular, positive version of Christianity.
Dr. Adam Francisco is our guest. We're talking about New Age teaching and practices. How does the New Age dovetail with the trend toward spiritual but not religious? You can help new Christians or those curious about the true Easter miracle with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, A Simple Explanation of Easter. These booklets are sold in packets of 20, making them perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in church pews. Find out more about A Simple Explanation of Easter at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, A Simple Explanation of Easter.
Can you ever hear too much good news? Especially in challenging times, we need to hear how God is working through His church to bring truth, goodness, and beauty to the world. Hi, this is Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Take a break from cable news and find refreshment at interesttime.org, where you can read all about what's happening in places like St. Mark Lutheran Church and School in Kaneohe, Hawaii. Sign up for a free subscription and share with anyone that needs a good boost. Again, that's interesttime.org.
Trinity Lutheran Church, LCMS, of Tryon, North Carolina, also serves the South Carolina Upstate. We uphold the confessional standard of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. We follow the apostolic practice of celebrating the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day using a biblical historic liturgy. Our small parish is teeming with little ones, along with many of retirement age. Several Issues Etc. listeners have been welcomed into Christ's fold here from outside Lutheranism. We invite any unchurched in the area to join us at 10:15 each Sunday.
Superstition is the belief that one event caused an unrelated event. It's often tied up with false beliefs about God and how He works in the world. Is there really such a problem with superstitions? Is there really such a problem with saying, knock on wood or good luck? Explore this and more in the March issue of The Lutheran Witness. We will talk about scientism, superstition, New Age, and so much more. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. guest, Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's what Martin Luther says about the pastoral office. My pastor is practicing the virtue that increases God's kingdom, fills heaven with saints, plunders hell, robs the devil, wards off death, represses sin, preserves peace and unity, and plants all kinds of virtue in the people. In a word, he is making a new world. He builds not a poor temporary house, but an eternal and beautiful paradise in which God himself is glad to dwell. We are calling good men to step up. Come to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Folks, you have 10 days to take advantage of the early bird registration fee of $135 for the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's speakers include Robert George, Brian Wolfmiller, Mark and Molly Hemingway, Larry Rast, and Will Whedon. Attendance is limited. You can register online at issuesetc.org or by calling us 618-223-8385. Making the Case Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th. At Concordia University, Chicago. We're talking about New Age teachings and practices. Dr. Adam Francisco is our guest, author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Spiritual Without the Spirit. So, Dr. Francisco, how does the New Age dovetail with this trend that has been at work here in the United States for quite a while, spiritual but not religious?
Well, that's... I'm going to go with, I mentioned James Sire earlier. He, so unlike Time magazine, I believe Newsweek, who ran articles in the 70s and 80s and talked about the New Age boom and suggested that the New Age had reached a peak in the 80s and by the 90s was starting to decline. James Sire actually said in 1997, I believe it was, in the third edition of the Universe Ignore, that the New Age actually is still in a stage of adolescence. It's still waiting to mature. And in the last two editions of the book, he says, we don't use the term New Age anymore, not because it's died out, but because it's proliferated everywhere. It's become part of our normal religious landscape. There are other texts out there that would suggest that old New Age spirituality is largely predominated American religious culture, surpassing perhaps even Christian spirituality. So the spirituality, or that spiritual but not religious category that people will sometimes place themselves in, that's kind of it's amorphous. It's hard to really know what that means. But when you look at organizations that kind of take a bead or try to read American culture, groups like the Pew Research Group, they did a study, man, maybe 12 years ago or so, surveying thousands of Americans and found that 75% of Americans identify themselves as Christian. But then as they asked those people who identified as Christians particulars about what they believe, they found that half of that 75% believed in things like reincarnation and monistic type of doctrines, that we're not all made or created in the image of God, but actually we share some sort of divine personhood collectively as a people. And that, you know, half of 75%, in many ways, that's sort of the spiritual but not religious group. Now, would people who identify that way acknowledge that they are New Age, or that much of what they believe comes from the 60s, 70s, and 80s development of the New Age? Do they all make pilgrimages to Sedona, Arizona, or seek spirit guides and hang crystals around their neck for healing? Probably not. But one of the curious things about the New Age is it was and still is very eclectic and syncretistic, meaning in terms of its syncretism, it will borrow from a whole host of religious traditions that really, logically speaking, do not fit, but is quite comfortable with living with those contradictions. It's also very eclectic in that it prefers the mysterious or the Gnostic or the eccentric, more secret or private religions historically. So there's at least a genre in New Age books that draws heavily upon the Gnostic Christian tradition from you could go back to the first century, but this certainly the second, third, and fourth century AD. So they'll pick and choose kind of what every individual kind of picks and chooses what makes them feel good about themselves. What kind of drives this, though, is what helps them realize themselves, what helps them get along in life. So one thing that's real popular right now that's in the article, I put it as I describe it as a phenomenon of the New Age. It's this movement. It's especially popular in certain evangelical, more progressive evangelical circles where people will get together for seminars and learn about the nine numbers or the Enneagram, where there's books that go along with it and other things and videos that help you, I might kind of cynically add, allegedly help you figure out what your personality type is. And there's a list of nine of them, and there's sort of a, not just a hierarchy, but there's some intersection between the different personality types. And if you want to find out your personality, that's all well and good. But oftentimes what the Enneagram stuff does is suggest that in finding your personality type, you're learning more about your inner spirit. And you use really waffly, amorphous language, but it helps you kind of figure out your place in the universe and how you relate to others. And that might be all well and good. I don't know. But it goes even further and suggests that there's like a spiritual order in the universe, at least in some of the classic Enneagram texts that came from Latin America in about 50, 60 years ago. It suggests that you're connected to this sort of order that spiritually orders out personality throughout the universe. And that's I think should be included in kind of New Age spirituality, or the spirituality, the so-called new consciousness, as Sire would describe it.
So you've kind of intimated this a little bit, but some believe that New Age beliefs can be compatible or supplemental or somehow incorporated into Christianity. How do you respond to that?
Well, abstractly, I think I'd stay away from it as much as possible. I don't know if you remember this, but growing up in the 70s and 80s, in my youth group and Sunday schools, I remember there were basically two things that we learned about. One was we watched these videos done by Tipper Gore, Al Gore's wife, from the Parents Music Resource Center, where they played records backwards and identified fairly popular rock groups that I'm still a fan of as satanic, which they weren't really satanic. But then we watched a lot of stuff. We were all constantly, at least in my experience, warned of this thing called the New Age. And it would lump everything in with the New Age, including vegetarian diet. So I do want to be a little cautious. You know, by the way, I'm not a vegetarian. Good heavens, no. But we want to be a little cautious not to over-identify everything that's new or different to us that seems kind of spiritual as New Age. At the same time, if you're doing yoga, for example, if you're just stretching, that's all well and good. Stretching's, I presume, I'm no health scientist, but I presume it's very good for you. But the more you get involved in a particular type of stretching called yoga, the more you associate with people who are part of this yoga movement, if you want to call it that, the more language like namaste and meditation at the end of a yoga session where you just simply chant the word om, the closer you're getting to toying with a religious tradition that is inimical and certainly incompatible, completely incompatible with Christianity. So there's sort of, you got to be cautious with some of these things like yoga. Other things like thinking crystals have healing powers, or if you go to Sedona, Arizona, you might encounter the spiritual vortex that's going to heal whatever ails you spiritually or bodily. Seeking spirit guides or counsel from palm readers. At the very least, those things are a gigantic waste of money, but they might appear harmless. Maybe throwing down whatever it costs to go to a palm reader as a fun thing to do while you're in college might be relatively innocent. But if you take that stuff seriously and start treating it as if it's true or legitimate, or it might supplement your spirituality, then you're in dangerous ground and being sucked into a spirituality that is quite opposite and contradictory to Christianity, maybe even demonic.
On the other side, do all the various ideas that fall under the New Age have a common denominator? Dr. Adam Francisco is our guest. We're talking about New Age teachings and practices. How should Lutherans respond to the assertion, your church is too Catholic? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joshua Pauling traces his path from big box evangelicalism and Reformed Calvinism to the treasures of historic Christianity found in the Lutheran Church, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/LutherAcademy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about New Age teachings and practices with Dr. Adam Francisco of Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Francisco, is there a common denominator to the various ideas that fall under New Age?
I think so. There's probably more than one, but the one I see is it's anthropology, in that it assumes that human beings are generally okay, if not able to perfect themselves spiritually. So there is certainly no, and probably I'd be willing to lay money down on it, there's probably an outright rejection of any notion of original sin across the spectrum of spiritualities or religious expressions that we could identify as New Age. And so therefore, in terms of our basic spiritual existential problem, just can't be dealt with in the New Age. So, you know, that's the common thing. So there a bad anthropology and also a terrible soteriology. There is no Jesus, real Jesus, who dies on a cross for your sins, for your justification by rising 3 days later. There's no need for it in this sort of spirituality.
So go into a little more detail. What is the New Age view of man, his malady, and the solution to that malady?
Yeah, well, there is no doctrine, you know, in the New Age, so it's hard to describe it in a way that could be understood as a universal description. But it is that basic assumption that we're all basically good, that we're perfectible, and in fact, most would say that we are more than just human. In fact, the biggest problem that human beings might have or do have in this kind of spirituality is that we do not realize that we're basically sleeping deities. We need to awaken to the fact that we have some share in the divine cosmos, that we have some sort of, there's some a divine nature to us in some way, shape, or form. And different New Age writers and teachers are going to emphasize that more than others. And, you know, they'll describe the divinity within us differently in terms of what part of us is divine and so on. But they do all assume that there is this divine connectedness that we all share. So if that's the case, I mean, if good heavens, if we all are divine in some way, we don't need the real deity, God himself, to take care of our basic spiritual problems, because we can take care of it ourselves. So New Age spirituality, though, again, there are those who will talk about Jesus and even talk about his death on a cross. It's limited to, however, just discussion of Jesus as an example. Even his death on a cross as a sacrifice is seen as kind of a metaphor at best. There's no notion that we stand before our Creator alienated, guilty of the sin passed down from Adam and Eve, and guilty of our own particular sin. There's no sense of that at all. In fact, some are, like Marianne Williamson, who was one of the contenders for the Democratic nomination for president, she, in fact, teaches explicitly her form of New Age Christianity, if you will, to counteract or to, maybe we might say, deconstruct or disrupt, probably is the better way of putting it, that old, she might say, outdated notion that we are by nature sinful and unclean. In fact, we aren't. We're able to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We're able to, we can find our own spiritual journey into the great eternality of the universe, or, you know, language like that is oftentimes used. So real New Age spirituality, in short, cannot be reconciled in any way with the basic essential core of Christian doctrine.
Then I take it that the biblical Jesus simply cannot be incorporated into New Age spirituality either.
No. Now, again, there will be references to Jesus, and perhaps, like with Deepak Chopra, he will refer to, he'll quote passages from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the assumption behind anything Jesus says or does in the canonical Gospels is that they are spiritual metaphors, perhaps spiritual examples on how one should live and treat their neighbor. But anything beyond that, you know, the real core of Christianity is regarded as outdated and perhaps a mythology that we've evolved beyond.
What are some of the questions that a Christian might ask of a practice or a belief from New Age spirituality to see if it is dangerous?
Well, I mean, the obvious one would be, what do you think of Jesus? And if it doesn't include a sacrificial death and an all-atoning sacrifice on the cross and a real bodily historical resurrection 3 days later for our justification, my advice would be have nothing to do with it. There are other questions, you know, the anthropological question, maybe, you know, what does that particular spirituality teach about our basic existential problem as human beings? If they don't get that right, if they don't acknowledge that our basic problem is that we are alienated and, in fact, enemies of God by nature, have nothing to do with it. If it draws upon sources that are not canonical sources, even if it's speaking of Jesus, if it's not drawing upon Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and treating Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as historical eyewitness testimony to the life and teachings of Jesus, if it's drawing upon some sort of guru, no matter how attractive they might look or how many followers they have, one should have nothing to do with it.
What can we learn from the earliest Christians who themselves lived in a culture that was strongly influenced by non-Christian ideas of spirituality?
Yeah, in many ways, you can kind of compare. There's a lot of similarities, at least, between the Gnostic movement, which, like the New Age, is very diverse, geographically speaking, and also in terms of the expressions of Gnostic or Gnosticism, or some would say Gnostic Christianity in the first couple of centuries, mirrors the diversity in New Age spirituality. The way Christians treated that, I mean, even in 1 John, the context is John is writing to warn Christians against a Gnostic form of Christianity. So, you know, as John would put it, if one does not believe that Jesus came in the flesh, that the Word of God was manifest in the person and work of Jesus Christ, they are antichrist. You know, I think when Paul talks about our struggle is not just against flesh and blood, in fact, more importantly, it's against the principalities and powers of darkness. That's what you face with, not just New Age spirituality, but any other competitor with Christianity. And as Paul writes in Galatians, if it presents a different solution to your basic spiritual problems, if it denies the gospel, then it should be anathematized. It should be accursed. We should have nothing to do with it.
Dr. Adam Francisco is Assistant Provost for Mission and Identity at Concordia University Chicago, author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Spiritual Without the Spirit. The Lutheran Witness is available in print and online. Find out more at lcms.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine. Dr. Francisco, thanks.
You're welcome.
When we come back, it's going to be Dr. Ken Sherbin. Our series, Through the Old Testament in a Church Year, we'll be talking about King Saul and how he became king. And, well, after it was all said and done, what the prophet Samuel had to say about the fact that they had rejected God as their king. Then we'll discuss critical race theory with Kevin McGarry of Every Black Life Matters.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.